Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So most of you might know us by our familiar faces. We've visited over the years. But we'd love to share a little more about our story and kind of some background about us as well. I'm originally from Kansas, moved out here in 2006. Didn't know anybody. So I moved to a small town in Hickory and lived up there for quite a while. But before I moved, I was, like I said, from a small town in Kansas, about 3,000 people. And most of us were Catholic or Baptist. And I was on the Catholic side. So I was raised within a family that was Catholic. And always had the word in front of me, but for those of us with Catholic backgrounds, there's more of the priest leadership, and you get bits and pieces of the word. No one really dove into the Bible for you. It's just little different verses throughout the Sunday meetings. And so I went through the whole practice of getting baptized as a baby and First Communion and helped out with as an altar boy throughout the years. But when I got into college, I had a chance to do a couple internships. Worked for three different jobs, and that wasn't enough to pay for school, so found a nice internship where it was an exchange program. So people from the Kansas College went to New York, and the New York students came to Kansas. And the internship was a door-to-door job, and that's where I had a chance to meet several people, hundreds of thousands of people, door-to-door. But we were selling educational books to help parents help their kids with school. Because apparently there's a new math. We all know that. I know that now. But that's what we did. And so I had the challenge of going door to door, introducing myself, introducing the product to different families. And New York's a lot different from Kansas. Sure is. So it took me a little while to catch on. But I did pretty well, and then I had a chance to come back, and the following years I did an exchange program with the Louisiana groups and then Mississippi. And that was also a shocker. Yeah. Going from New York to Louisiana, and hate to tell you, but there's a big difference there. One of the big differences was the temperature. I was way in upstate New York, and I think the highest it got was in the 60s, and so I was not prepared for that. And in Louisiana, 109 by 9. That's what we called it. But it was in Louisiana where I was going door to door, and it was more of a frustration period. There was several different instances where people wouldn't answer their doors. They saw a guy out there. They didn't know. There were several different opportunities where people slammed the doors in your face. And so they tell us, you know, go see 30 families a day. 30 families a day, you'll do okay. Well, there was one day I did a lot more than 30. I did about, you know, I think it was closer to 80. 80 doors one day. So I was just beaten down by the weather, beaten down by the door slams and everything. And then there was this gentleman, I knocked on his door and he saw me and he invited me in and he witnessed to me. Now this wasn't the first time someone had tried to witness to me and I had rejected it several times in the past. But this time I was at a lowly state, so I was like, well, what else am I going to do? Just see another door knock? 100 degrees out here, so I'll go in. So he invited me into his house, and we looked at the Word, and he turned to John chapter 3. So I'd like to look at that today. And Bill said I have until 11:30. Just kidding. So John chapter 3 is probably a familiar chapter for all of us. But it talks about Nicodemus. And we read through it, so I'd like to go ahead and read through it. So starting with verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these things that you are doing unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said, "How can a person once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you don't understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned." And that's when I accepted him as my Savior. All those years, grew up in a church, and it helped because I knew Jesus was God. I just didn't accept his gift. And it is a gift. There's nothing I had to work for. I just had to accept it. And so that's my testimony. Now, I also mentioned to my family that I'd say a little something about them. So they all got nervous. So here we go. So my wife has a similar situation. She's from the Seattle area. Her town size was not 3,000 people. It was in the millions. But she grew up in a traditional family. She's Chinese. Her parents were in an arranged marriage, and they are practicers of Buddhism, however you say it. And they still do that. So we continue to pray for them, that they figure out what the truth is, and we can be a light in their darkness. But she grew up different times practicing that because her parents told her she needed to. And it wasn't until she went to college as well, and she met a couple Christian friends, one of which who gave her a Bible. And so she started reading the Bible. She didn't completely understand it, but she was reading it. Her friend suggested starting in John, and so that's where she started. Then her friend, who was from Hawaii, invited her to come to Hawaii and stay with her and her family. And so luckily, she went to Hawaii for a couple months. I still haven't been to Hawaii. And that's where she was able to see more of the Word, hear more of the Word, brought her to the church that she went to, and that's where she got saved. So later on, we had met, and I had graduated, moved out this way. She's a couple years younger than me, so she didn't graduate at the same time. So we did a long-distance relationship for a while, and then when she graduated, she moved out this way. And that's where we ran into, a couple people might know Andy Schaefer and Muriel Schaefer. They were elders at, he was an elder at Conover Gospel Fellowship. And that's where we've attended for several years. But before that, I was with Andy, and we decided to start up a Bible study. And it was within a Bible study where we had several teenagers at the time come and learn about what the Bible has to say. And that's where I had a better chance to study the Word and see what the truth was about it. And that was a great Bible study. Several people were saved through it. Andy and I were a pretty good tag team. We'd go out and meet different people, strangers, and stir up some questions that people might have and invite them back to the Word and show them what it says. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Fast forward, Lynn and I got married, and we had Christian. Christian is 9 years old, and he has professed to be saved as well. Christian got saved. He accepted the Word when he was 8. And as you're born again, that's just the beginning. You know, so just because you get saved doesn't mean you know all the truth. And so it took him a little while to learn additional things, such as baptism. And so he got baptized last year. I helped out with that. I was able to dunk him in Lake Hickory. But that was good as well, because we could see when I grew up and I got baptized as a baby, the way the Catholics look at it is a little different. It's a lot different, actually. So I'd like to turn to Romans 6. So God has an order with things. And one of the orders is you get saved, and you get baptized, and you go into fellowship. And so we see here in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. It's a public display of I am accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I am putting the flesh to death and being born again by the Spirit. Such a beautiful thing. And it's something that we can display and teach people about what the Bible has to say in those different areas. And so Christian was very happy to get baptized after he had learned that. You know, if you have kids, it's hard to come up with names for your children. It really is. We went back and forth on different things. And Christian, we wanted Christian to be a Christian. So, hey, why not Christian, the follower of Christ? Middle name Nico, which means victorious. We want him to be victorious to bring people to Christ. And so that's what we settled on. And he's displayed that too. There's several days where he comes home from school and he says, hey, I invited another friend to church. I ask him if they're saved. I ask him if they know who Jesus Christ is. And I tell him about it. That's good. That's good. That's fruit coming out there. But I also have another son, Josiah. Josiah is 7 years old, very smart kid. He wears glasses and makes him look really smart. But he's also someone who looks up to his big brother, and he's very kind as well. But I ask him about his relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, "What's a relationship?" And so I explained to him what a relationship was. And he started describing it. He said, "Well, God is kind. God is loving." And I said, "Well, that's good. He is kind and he is loving. But what about you? That's God's side. What about your side?" Because it's a relationship with God. It's not just because you're Catholic or just because you're Baptist or just because you go to church on Sunday. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says, "I'm loving because he's loving." What a great answer. What a great answer. Now, Josiah is really close, but I don't think he's saved yet. I think he understands a lot, but he's not there yet. And so, continue to pray for him. And as much as I'd like to say that I have control on that, I don't. You know, the seed is planted, and we're watering the seeds as we can. But we can see John 1:13 says, "Who were born not by natural generations, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God." So we become children of God. We're adopted. And it's not because we're born of natural generation, meaning just because their parents are Christian, they automatically become Christian. It's not like a royalty to where, you know, you're born because of the blood. And it's also not by human choice or a man's decision, but of God's. And so we continue to pray for him, and he gets saved, and at a young age, and is able to give God the glory and the praise that he deserves. And so that's a little bit of our story. I had to cut it short because Bill wants to talk more. I'll go ahead and close in prayer, and then we can have some snacks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. What a beautiful thing it was to be able to remember you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who offered himself an unblemished Lamb of God. It's such a great joy to give him the praise and glory that he deserves, and to recognize that it was by his blood that redeems us and washes us free from our sins. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the refreshments that are provided on those who put those together for us as well. We ask that you bless those, and we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.